نستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد then to continue with Lum'atul I'tiqad, the book of creed and belief compiled by Imam Ibn Qudamah al-Maqdisi rahimahullah, with the explanation of Shaykh Salih al-Fawzan hafidhahullah. Then last time we just completed the section, the general section on the speech of Allah the Most High, and the specific section on the Quran being the speech of Allah in reality. So who can remember, with regard to what we had last week, that the Imam Ibn Qudamah, the previous lesson before last, he brought the hadith about the virtue of the person who recites the Qur'an and recites it correctly, the virtue that there is for him and the reward that there is for him. Then last week he brought a hadith which mentions that recite the Qur'an before there comes a people who will straighten its letters with the straightening of an arrow. It will not pass beyond their collarbones. They hasten its reward, or seek to bring forward its reward, and they do not wait for its reward, meaning in the hereafter. Shaykh al-Fawzan explained why the Imam brought this hadith last week, after the hadith which came before it. Before we quote the hadith about the virtue of reciting the Qur'an correctly, then he brought this hadith. Why? Who can remember the point of benefit? Why he brought this hadith following that one before it? Shaykh Fawzan, as Brother mentioned, he indicated, or the Imam himself, he brought this hadith because some people may misunderstand from the first hadith that there is virtue just in reciting the Qur'an, and that this virtue, the virtue of reciting the Qur'an, is just reciting and making recitation good, and that's it. So Shaykh Fawzan explained that he brought this next hadith here, that there will be a people who will come, who will straighten its wordings, just as an arrow is straightened, make the recitation very perfect, but it will not go beyond their collarbones. So he brought this hadith as a warning and as an indication that the reward for reciting the Qur'an is for the one who recites it correctly and acts upon it. One who acts upon it. The second hadith makes that clarification. What is required is not just recitation on the tongue, but action upon it along with that. Shaykh al-Fawzan actually mentioned that there are three things essential with regard to the Qur'an. Who can remember the three things that are essential with regard to the Qur'an that the person should be upon? Firstly, he mentioned awareness, or firstly he mentioned the correct recitation. A person should give importance to the correct recitation of the Qur'an. Secondly, he should give importance to understanding the meaning of the Qur'an and the explanation, the tafsir of the Qur'an. And thirdly, action upon the Qur'an. Action upon it. Who can remember the difference between the first two there? Correct recitation, Shaykh al-Fawzan in the explanation made a distinction. The first two, correct recitation and awareness of the meaning, made a distinction between those two and between the third thing, action on the Qur'an. Who can remember the distinction we mentioned? That the first two fall into one category and the third one falls into another category. He mentioned that awareness, firstly recitation of the Qur'an and secondly awareness of the meaning, these two are means. These are means to a goal. They are not a goal and end in themselves. These are means. And the third one, action upon the Qur'an, that is the goal. That was the first one, necessary for it, correct recitation, and awareness of the meaning, and explanation, but then they lead to the third, they are means which lead to the third one, to the desired goal, which is action upon the Qur'an. Correct action upon the Qur'an. Shaykh al-Fawzan also mentioned some deviant groups. He mentioned the Jahmiyyah and the Mu'tazila and the Asha'ira, the Ash'aris. Who can remember their stance, or the stance that Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned that they have with regard to accepting the Qur'an as a basis for Aqeedah? All of these three groups. What is their stance about accepting the Qur'an as a basis for belief?
Is it that you have to use your logic? Is it that they use their
akal? Yeah. So the Qur'an, how do they view that? Yeah or no? They take it for belief or they don't?
No, they use their
akal to... That's it. As the Buddha mentioned, then they do not hold the Qur'an as a basis for aqidah, creed and belief. Because they say the Qur'an is just gives us apparent meanings. The words of the Qur'an, they claim wrongly, it just gives us, the wordings of the Qur'an just give us apparent meanings. But we can't be certain of what actually meant or not. So therefore they do not hold the Qur'an as being a basis for aqidah, creed and belief. Rather, as the Buddha mentioned, they use the lack of the intellect and ilm al-kalam, theological rhetoric, basically which goes back to the intellect. Whatever they can affirm with their logical arguments, that's what they affirm for as creed and belief. They say the intellectual arguments are decisive, but the wordings of the Qur'an, they're just apparent, they give us apparent meanings which we can't base certain belief upon. And so Shaykh al-Fawzan mentioned this deviant belief that they have. So therefore he said, these people are not therefore counted as being from the people of the Qur'an, because they reject its use in the most important of affairs, the affair of founding creed and belief. They won't accept the Qur'an to found creed and belief from. Shaykh al-Fawzan, hafidhahullah, he also explained the hadith, وَالْقُرْآنُ حُجَّةٌ لَكَ أَوْ عَلَيْكَ. The hadith reported by Muslim, that the Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. How did Shaykh al-Fawzan explain that phrase in the hadith? The Qur'an will be a proof for you or against you. How? For whom will it be a proof? For them? For whom will it be against them? No. He mentioned that it will be a proof for you if you acted upon it, and a proof against you if you do not act upon it. What effect did Shaykh al-Fawzan mention that the Qur'an should have upon the believers? What effects should it have upon the believers? When they hear the ayahs being recited of the Qur'an, what are some of the effects that it has upon the believers? That the effect it has, or amongst the effects it has, is that their hearts tremble, and as a correction, what the Buddha pointed out, correction, I said that the Qur'an strikes them, it should be, the Qur'an causes them to weep. The Qur'an causes their hearts to tremble, and it causes them to weep from fear of Allah. Jazakallahu khair. We also had, as a final question, a point about denial of the Qur'an, or denial of some of the Qur'an. That how much of the Qur'an does a person deny before he is declared an unbeliever by consensus, by ijma'? That how much of the Qur'an does he have to deny before there is consensus of the scholars that he's a kafir? How much of the Qur'an does he have to deny to reach that? A single sentence, a single word, or even a single letter. If he denies a single letter of the Qur'an, is confirmed as a letter of the Qur'an, then he has left Islam by consensus. Then, this week, the Imam Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he moves onto a new section which should cover two lessons, insha'Allah. First of which we'll take today, insha'Allah, and that is on, as occurs in the book here, the Egyptian version that most of us have got hold of, page 148. Faslun bi ithbati ru'yatillahi ta'ala fil akhirah. Section or chapter in affirmation of seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter. So he brings a section here on ar-ru'ya, on seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter. Shaykh al-Fawzan says with regard to this title, fi ithbati ru'yatillahi ta'ala fil akhirah, in affirmation of seeing Allah the Most High in the hereafter, Shaykh al-Fawzan said, he has finished, the author, Ibn Qudama, he has finished speech about the Qur'an, which is from the speech of Allah, the Perfect and Most High. And he moves on to a tremendous attribute from the attributes of Allah. And it is a ru'ya, that Allah will be seen. That the believers will see their Lord on the day of resurrection, as is mutawatir in the Sunnah. In mutawatir is reported by a huge number of people at every level of transmission. As is mutawatir, reported by a huge number of people at every level in the Sunnah, from the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And as is proven by the noble Qur'an. And he mentions evidence from the Book of Allah the Most High. He said, Allah the Perfect and Most High said, وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ Surah Al-Qiyamah, the 75th Surah, Ayahs 22-23. With the explanation, faces on that day, the day of resurrection, faces on that day will be shining, looking at their Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining Nadira, as occurs in the first ayah, he said Nadira, the first one with a bad, Nadira. This is from An-Nadra, which means Al-Bahja, splendor or brightness. So the faces of the believers on the day of resurrection will be shining with light and splendor. And he mentions the word at the end of the second ayah. As for Nadira, the second one, then it is with Ava, the sister of Ta. In the first word, the word is Nadira with a Dad. In the second ayah, it's Nadira with a Va. He said, this is from another, it's a different word with a different root meaning. And then he goes on to explain the root meaning of another. He said, it can be accompanied and rendered active by illa. In this verb, nadara, it can have after it the particle illa. And if it is accompanied and rendered active by illa, the word illa, then its meaning is seeing with the eyes. And if we have this verb, nadara, or its derivatives, with an illa, the particle illa after it, which normally means to, then nadara and illa together, they carry the meaning of seeing with the eyes, as occurs in the ayah here. Ila rabbiha nadira, looking at their Lord. The Shaykh said, meaning looking at him on the day of resurrection openly. And it refers to the shining, beautiful faces of the believers, looking at the face of their Lord. And through that, he increases them in splendor and beauty and light and joy and happiness. meaning that the faces which were described in the first ayah as being shining, resplendent, then in looking at their Lord, that will only increase them further in all of these things, in splendor and beauty and light and joy and happiness. So the Shaykh said, so here, an-nazar, when it has this particle along with it, ila, then it means seeing with the eyes. Then he gives a second meaning, and we have had this before in Al-Aqidah Tahawiyyah, we had it in Shaykh Falah, Hafidhullah's lessons on Al-Aqidah Al-Wasitiyah as well. The second meaning he mentions here, of nadara. He said, and when it occurs and is active on its own, when you just have the verb or one of its derivatives, of nadara, with no ila after it, he said, when it is active on its own, then he gives an example, the ayah, أُنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسُ أُنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ أُنظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِن نُورِكُمْ Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, Ayah 13. With the explanation, wait for us, so that we may take from your light. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, in this case, when nadara and its derivatives just act on that is active on its own, with no ila after it, no particle after it, then its meaning is waiting. Second meaning here, its meaning is waiting, meaning wait for us. Then he explains this ayah, he says, the hypocrites will say to the believers, so this ayah is in the context of what the hypocrites will say, wait for us. He'll say that to the believers, the hypocrites will say, wait for us, so that we may take from your light. Fawzan said, the hypocrites will say to the believers on the day of resurrection, wait for us, let us take from your light. Because the believers will be given light, which proceeds in front of them and to their right. And the hypocrites, the munafiqoon, will be given light to begin with, but then it will be extinguished. And Allah's refuge is sought. And they will come to be in darkness. And they will be ordered to proceed. They will be commanded to proceed, to move. So they will say to the believers, wait for us. Meaning, Abruna, meaning wait for us. Until we can take something from your light. Because they will be in total darkness. They will not know where they are going. Then Shaykh Fawzan quotes the ayahs which follow. قِيلَ رُجِئُوا وَرَاءَكُمْ فَالْتَمِسُوا نُورًا فَضُرِبَ بَيْنَهُمْ بِسُورٍ لَهُ بَابٌ بَاطِنُهُ فِيهِ الرَّحْمَةِ وَظَاهِرُهُ مِنْ قِبَلِهِ الْعَذَابِ يُنَادُونَهُمْ أَلَمْ لَكُمْ مَعَكُمْ. And there's again a quick ayah which crept in here after the word al-adhab. There's a la which is just crept in, which should be a completion, a sign for the completion of the ayah. Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, ayahs 13 to 14, with the explanation, it will be said to them, and when the hypocrites request light from the believers, it will be said to them, go back and seek light. Go back where you were before and seek light. And a wall will be placed between them, between the believers and the hypocrites, between paradise and the fire. A wall will be placed between them. It will have a gate. Inside of it is mercy, and outside of it there is punishment. The hypocrites will call to the believers, had we not used to be with you? Shaykh al-Fawzan said, meaning in the world. Then Shaykh al-Fawzan quotes the next ayah, قَالُوا بَلَى وَلَكِنَّكُمْ فَتَنْتُمْ أَنْفُسَكُمْ وَتَرَبَّصْتُمْ وَارْتَبْتُمْ وَغَرَّتْكُمُ الْأَمَانِي حَتَّى جَاءَ أَمْرُ اللَّهِ وَغَرَّكُمْ بِاللَّهِ الْغَرُورِ. Surah Al-Hadid, 57th Surah, Ayah 14. With the explanation, they will say, the believers will say, yes indeed, But you afflicted yourselves with hypocrisy, and you awaited something evil happening to the believers, and you doubted, and you were deceived by your own false hopes, until Allah's command came about, and Satan deceived you concerning Allah. Shaykh Fawzan said, explaining, in the world they used to be with the believers, praying and fighting jihad, however, not upon the basis of iman, of true faith, but rather upon the basis of nifaq, hypocrisy, and Allah's refuge is sought. So therefore they will be given some light on the day of resurrection in order to deceive them and as a plot against them, just as they used to plot in the world, then Allah will plot against them. He gave them some light, or He will give them some light and then take it away, and that will be in order to cause them severe regret, and Allah's refuge is sought. Shaykh Fawzan said, so the witness here is that if another, this word, occurs and is active on its own, then its meaning is waiting. He quotes the ayah again, أُنْظُرُونَا نَقْتَبِسْ مِنْ نُورِكُمْ Surah Al-Hadid 57 Surah Ayah 13, that the hypocrites will say, wait for us, أُنْظُرُونَا, wait for us, so that we can take something from your light. Then Shaykh Al-Fawzan quotes a second ayah with this meaning, another and its derivatives, without any particle, along with it, to mean waiting. هَلْ يَنْظُرُونَ إِلَّا أَنْ يَأْتِيَهُمُ اللَّهِ Surah Al-Baqarah, the second surah, ayah 210, with the explanation, do they await, except that Allah should come to them? Shaykh Al-Fawzan says, again it's mentioned, يَنْظُرُونَ Do they await? Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, meaning, those people are just waiting for the establishment of the hour. So then he goes back to the language point, so when the word is active on its own, its meaning is waiting. And then he moves on to the third meaning of another. He said, and when it is active with fi, when it has the particle fi along with it, then he gives an example, an ayah. قُلْ انظُرُوا مَاذَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ So Yunus, the 10th surah, ayah 101, with the explanation, say, انظُرُوا, see and reflect upon whatever is in the heavens and the earth. Shaykh Al-Fawzan said, when nadr occurs and is active with fi after it, its meaning is reflecting and taking a lesson. أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Quotes the second ayah with this meaning. Surah Al-A'raf, the 7th surah, ayah 185, the explanation. Will they not reflect? أَوَلَمْ يَنْظُرُوا فِي مَلَكُوتِ السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ Will they not reflect upon the dominion of the heavens and the earth? Shaykh said, meaning, reflect upon the things created by Allah, the Perfect and Most High. So then he summarizes the section with these three meanings of another. He says, so in summary, if another is active on its own, it's got no particle illa with it, it's got no particle fi in the same sentence with it. He said, if it's active on its own, it means stopping and waiting. So there's a second meaning. And if it occurs with and is active along with illa, then its meaning is seeing with the eyes. And if it occurs with and is active along with fi, its meaning is reflecting and taking a lesson. And as a side point, in case someone wonders why it's important that we know all these meanings, then of course the people of innovation, sometimes they come and they'll try and trick you, that this ayah where it's mentioned that the believers will be looking at their Lord, إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَ People of innovation can come and trick you and say, don't you realize the word another here? It can mean stopping. And don't you realize the word nadhar, in this another ayah here, it means waiting or reflecting or the like of that. So you can say, how can you say it means looking, the believers will look at their Lord? So Shaykh is laying it down here, look, this word has three meanings. If it's on its own, nadhar and its derivatives, nadhar, it means waiting. If it has illa, if it has fi after it, it means reflecting upon something. And if it has illa after it, as in this ayah here, Suratul Qiyamah, it means looking with the eyes. So don't let the people of narration come and confuse you in that regard. Be aware it's got three meanings. On its own, when it has fi with it, when it has illa. When it has illa with it, it means looking out with the eyes. As it says in the ayah here, the believers will be looking at their Lord. Then the first sentence quoted by the Imam here, Ibn Qudamah, rahimahullah, he said, وَالْمُؤْمِنُونَ يَرَوْنَ اللَّهَ تَعَالَى بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ. And the believers will see Allah the Most High with their eyes. Shaykh al-Fawzan said in explanation, بِأَبْصَارِهِمْ, with their eyes. This is a refutation of those who say that they will look at him with their hearts, or that they will look upon his favours, or that they will look upon his paradise and at his favours. That they will look at Allah means at his paradise. This is tahrif, this is distortion of the speech of Allah, the Mighty and Majestic. Rather, they will look at Allah with their eyes, with a true and real seeing. There will be no screen between them and him, as an honour for them. The believers will be looking directly at Allah in the hereafter. And he rejected the saying of the innovators that they won't look at Allah, they'll be looking at his paradise, they'll be looking at his reward. No, that is distortion of the speech of Allah, the Shaykh said. Rather, they will be looking at Allah with their eyes, with a true and real seeing. There will be no screen between them and him, as an honour for them, for their having worshipped him in this world. وَهُمْ لَمْ يَرَوْهُ. There's a sad that's crept here instead of a ha. It should be وَهُمْ. That they worshipped him in this world when they did not see him. And they only worshipped him upon the basis of Iman, having true faith in him, he the Perfect and Most High. And they did so using as evidence his creational signs and the signs, the ayahs of the Qur'an. And they worshipped Allah upon the basis of the signs which they saw that he had placed in the creation and the ayahs, signs which he had placed in the Qur'an. They worshipped him with Iman, true faith, and upon attesting to the truth. So Allah the Majestic and Most High on the day of resurrection will reward them for that by showing himself to them. So they will see him openly. So those who worshipped him in the world, وَلَمْ يَرَوْهُ, and there's a lam which has been knocked out here, وَلَمْ يَرَوْهُ, those who worshipped him in the world and they didn't see him, rather they relied in that regard upon Iman, true faith, and upon attesting to what Allah informed of and to what his messenger informed of, and upon seeing and reflecting upon his signs, then Allah will honour them on the day of resurrection. In that he will show himself to them, he will manifest himself to them. But as for those who disbelieved in Allah, the Mighty and Majestic, then Allah will block and screen them from seeing him on the day of resurrection. As he the Most High said, كَلَّا إِنَّهُمْ عَنْ رَبِّهِمْ يَوْمَئِذٍ لَمَحْجُوبُونَ. Surah Al-Mutaffifin, the 83rd Surah, Ayah 15, with the explanation, but no, on the day, but no, on that day, the day of resurrection, they will be blocked away from their Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, because they disbelieved in him in the world, and they did not attest to his divinity and sole right to worship, and in his names and attributes, he the perfect and most high. So therefore Allah will screen them away on the day of resurrection as a punishment for them. And that proves that the believers will see him, he the perfect and most high. Same point that Sheikh Falah rahimahullah mentioned when he was here, that Imam al-Shafi'i made the same point. That this ayah from Surah Al-Mutaffifin, it shows the punishment for those who disbelieve in Allah will be that they will be blocked from seeing him. Can we understand from that? Imam al-Shafi'i said, we understand from that, as is clear from other ayahs, that the believers will not be given that punishment, rather they will be honoured with seeing Allah. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and he the Most High said, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا الْحُسْنَى وَزِيَادَةُ وَلَا يَرْحَقُ وُجُوهَهُمْ قَتَرٌ وَلَا ذِلَّةٌ. So Yunus, the 10th Surah, Ayah 26, with the explanation. For those who did well, there will be the best reward and an addition, something in addition. And their faces will not be overcome by darkness and humiliation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, explaining, لِلَّذِينَ أَحْسَنُوا, for those who did well. He said, meaning, did actions in the world. Al-Husna means paradise. Waziyada, and something in addition, waziyada is, this addition is, looking at the face of Allah. Looking upon the face of Allah. As was explained by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as occurs in Sahih Muslim. And who explained this ziyada in the ayah? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam himself explained that it means looking at Allah, looking upon the face of Allah the Most High. In the footnote, they mentioned this hadith is reported by Ahmad and Muslim, and at Tirmidhi from a hadith of Suhayb al-Rumi radiallahu anhu. And its beginning is, إِذَا دَخَلَ أَهْلُ الْجَنَّةِ الْجَنَّةِ, when the people of paradise enter paradise. And it's a longer hadith, and it contains the wording that the Prophet ﷺ explained this word, waziyada, that the believers will see the best reward in paradise, and something in addition, explained it to mean, looking at the face of Allah the Most High. Then Shaykh Fawzan said, and he the Most High said, لَهُمْ مَا يَشَاءُونَ فِيهَا وَلَدَيْنَا مَزِيدٌ. Another ayah proving this point. I've seen that the believers will see Allah. Surah Qaf, the 50th surah, ayah 35, with the explanation. They will have whatever they wish for in it. The believers will have whatever they wish for in paradise. And we have with us something extra. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the something extra is looking at the face of Allah. And he the Most High said, وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ وَجُوهٌ يَوْمَ إِذٍ نَاظِرَةٌ إِلَى رَبِّهَا نَاظِرَةٌ. Surah Al-Qiyamah, the ayahs we began with here in this part. Surah Al-Qiyamah, 75th surah, ayahs 22-23. With the explanation, on that day some faces will be shining, looking at their Lord. Shaykh al-Fawzan then said, these are the proofs of the Qur'an that Allah the Most High, Allah the Perfect and Most High, will be seen for the ru'ya. And the sunnah contains a hadith which are mutawatirah, hadith which are reported by many, many people at every level of transmission, which are mutawatirah. As was mentioned by Imam Ibn al-Qayyim in his book, Hadi al-Arwah, إِلَى بِلَادِ الْأَفْرَاحِ. So الرُّؤْيَة, the believers seeing Allah, is established in the Qur'an, and it is mutawatir in the Sunnah. And to affirm it is the position of the Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah, that the believers will see their Lord on the day of resurrection. They will see him at two places. They will be in two places when they see their Lord. Firstly, on the open plain of the resurrection, the arasat al-qiyamah, on the open plain of the resurrection, fil mahshar, on the gathering place, the place where all the people are gathered. And, they mentioned the second, and in al-jannah, and in paradise, when they enter paradise, they will see him with a seeing which will come about for them as bliss and honour. Then he mentions some of the deviant sects, what they say in this regard. Having affirmed the position of Ahl-Sunnah is to affirm that the believers will see Allah the Most High on the day of the resurrection truly with their eyes. He said, the Mu'tazila and their like and their offshoots hold denial of the seeing. They deny it. They say things cannot be seen unless they are solid bodies, and bodies resemble each other. I mean, one body is like another body. You can't see something unless it's a body. And then one body is like another body. This is their logical argument they try and bring. He said, so they say, so if we were to affirm the seeing, then we would be affirming that Allah is a body, and bodies each resemble each other. This is their argument. So if we affirm that we can see Allah, that would mean that Allah would be a body, and the one body is like another body, so Allah is like his creation. Shaykh al-Fawzan said, this is like their methodology with regard to all of the attributes. And this is a matter which is false and futile, batil, false and futile. So we say, the believers will see their Lord, and that does not necessitate what you people say, that there is resemblance, tashbih. Because Allah, the Majestic and Most High, nothing resembles Him. Nothing resembles Allah. And there occurs in the hadith, إِنَّكُمْ سَتَرَوْنَ رَبَّكُمْ كَمَا تَرَوْنَ الْقَمَرَ لَيْلَةَ الْبَدْرِ وَكَمَا تَرَوْنَ الشَّمْسِ صَحْوًا لَيْسَ دُونَهَا سَحَابٌ لَا تُضَامُونَ أَوْ لَا تُضَامُونَ فِي رُؤْيَتِهِ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى. It occurs in the hadith that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, you will certainly see your Lord just as you see the moon on the night when it is full, and just as you see the sun clearly when there is no cloud obscuring it. You will not be harmed, or you will not have to jostle and crush to see him. He, the Perfect and Most High. In a footnote they mention this is reported, or the like of this hadith is reported by Ahmad in the Musnad and by Al-Bukhari in his Sahih, hadith number 554, and by Muslim. From a hadith of Jabir, or from a hadith rather of Jarir, hadith of Jarir, Ibn Abdullah Al-Bajali, radiallahu anhu. He said, and that was because the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked a question. How will we be able to see our Lord when He is one and we are many? So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave an example for them from the created things which they can see and do not have to jostle and crush to see, which is the moon on the night when it is full. Everyone can see it whilst he is in his own place. And the people do not have to jostle and crush when they want. Indama yuridun, yuridun it should be. And the people do not have to jostle and crush when they want to see the moon. Do they have to jostle and crush and push to see the moon? Or can everyone see it? Fi makanihi, as it should be. Fi makanihi. Or can everyone see it whilst he is in his own place? I mean, the person who was asking the question was afraid that Allah is one and we are many, the people are many, 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 maybe we have to push and crush to see Him. So the Prophet, as Shaykh al-Fawzan said, the Prophet clarified this with this hadith. Mentioned something created, the people can see. If people want to see the moon, do they have to push and crush to see it? Rather, everyone can see it when he's from in his own place. Then the Shaykh said, and likewise the sun. Everyone can see it from his own place. They do not have to jostle and crush. So if this is the case with regard to a created thing, from the things which Allah has created, then Allah the Majestic and Most High is greater and more tremendous. He will be seen without any jostling or crowding in order to see Him, or any harming. you will not be harmed, and you will not have to crush and push to see him, he the perfect and most high. And then he makes an important point, which we'll finish off. He said, inshaAllah, so this is a declaration of likeness of the seeing, of seeing Allah, the Majestic and Most High, with seeing the sun and the moon. And it is not a declaration of likeness between what is seen, because Allah does not resemble the moon and does not resemble the sun. And nothing from his creation resembles him, he the perfect and most high. We've had this point again before, a number of times. What the hadith means is that the people will truly see Allah, just as they truly see the sun, and just as they truly see the moon, they will truly see Allah. Their believers will truly see Allah. This hadith does not mean that Allah, what is seen, is like what is seen in this world, like seeing the moon, or like seeing it. Allah is like the moon, or Allah is like the sun. Not at all. Not at all. And then Shaykh al-Fawzan will bring some evidences which the people who deny it say Allah bring, and he answers them. And we'll leave that till next time, inshaAllah. Walhamdulillah wa sallallahu ala Muhammad. Any points of clarification? As we heard, that's the first part of the section on seeing Allah, the believer seeing Allah the Most High the hereafter. Next week we'll take the second, the last part of that section, inshaAllah. Alhamdulillah wa sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.